How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, where you're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeart Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the American Forces Network. All over the world, the cable radio network, so many places to listen to this show. And obviously, the hot topic of conversation this week is the launch of the WWE Network. It is coming up in just over a month, and every single pay-per-view, including WrestleMania, will be available to you as a subscriber for just $9.99 a month. With a 6-month commitment. We're going to talk about all of that. I was there in Las Vegas at CES for the official announcement, and we're going to give you all of the details. When you can sign up, what programming is going to be available? What does it mean that you're going to get every single pay-per-view on this network? What is going on with the cable companies and the satellite providers? A lot of reports that DirecTV is very, very upset with what's going on. We've heard rumors about other cable providers being upset as well. What happens if those providers decide, guess what, we're going to pull your pay-per-views and they will no longer be available outside of the WWE Network? We're going to talk about that, plus other topics as well, including what kind of new programming is going to be available on the network. They've got a lot of different ideas for a lot of different shows. We're going to tell you about those, and we're going to talk all of the news this week, including some thoughts on old school Raw. We'll talk about SmackDown, Impact. The comparisons, by the way, between the WWE Network and the UFC Network, there's a lot of stuff to talk about there. We'll talk about Mae Young, who is in very rough shape, but Mae Young is the toughest woman in the world. We're going to tell you about that as well. Our best wishes go out to her. So all of that is coming up in the next 2 hours. So be ready. Stick by that dial. Back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi here on the line, as noted, and we got a lot of stuff to get into here today. And Mike, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just like everybody else, the new digital age of canvas matted fight sports, the UFC Fight Pass starting at the beginning of the year, and then this past week with the WWE Network. It was I was really surprised, I think, with the WWE Network, just because it was a lot more overpowering as far as the reaction goes from fans, from the TV industry, from everywhere. It was a little bit more than I thought it was going to be.
In what sense?
I just, you know, with the way that it was reported on and the cable industry really not seeing this coming, you know, we've been looking at this for so long now. We were talking about it 2 years ago about the possibilities of what they wanted to do and starting their own network. And you kind of get lulled into a false sense of security, and it's been talked about for so long. So when it finally happened and you guys went out there and covered it, and it was such a big deal and a big event, and they really, you know, I wasn't sure what the announcement was going to be like and how it was going to come across. And they really did a hell of a job with the presentation of it, and the cable industry being now upset by it, and DirecTV coming out and they act, you know, talking about different issues and things like that. Plus just the wrestling fans. It seemed to be a mostly a positive reaction from wrestling fans towards the WWE, which, you know, as you know, can be quite rare sometimes when, you know, people, again, WWE can alienate a lot of people and drive a lot of people nuts. But they're the only option really in town as far as being a, you know, the major professional wrestling company in the world or sports entertainment company in the world. But it seemed to be a almost a universally positive reaction towards what they're trying to do.
You know, it was funny that if you're a member of our website, I mean, you knew virtually everything that was announced when they made their presentation for the WWE Network. I mean, there was nothing that surprised me. I mean, maybe the way that they're doing the $9.99 pricing was a little bit of a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise to Dave. So we've been covering this for a long time, and I think that everybody that subscribes to the site or listens to this show knew the general state of the WWE Network before it was actually launched. But it was amazing when I went to the official announcement. I mean, there were a lot of people there. And granted, some of this was just press from CES that had no idea what was going on in wrestling. But I was surrounded by people that just, they had absolutely no idea what could this possibly be. What could WWE possibly be announcing it? They had absolutely no idea. And I do know that there were a lot of wrestlers who were sitting at home, and they turned on the webcast of the announcement. And they were blown away as well. This was a top secret type deal. I mean, this was a thing where the wrestlers didn't know what was going on. A lot of the a lot of the guys that appeared at CES were called very, very shortly before the presentation. I mean, we're talking like a couple days notice they were given to be there. So it was a top secret sort of deal. But I mean, for those of us that were following, and I mean, there were not a lot of surprises. And we're going to go over the a lot of the details of the network here on this program and answer some of your questions. Obviously, I know a lot of people have a lot of questions regarding pricing and how you will be able to see it. So we're going to go over that here. But, Mike, I presume that you're first in line to grab this network.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I did the sign up for the Fight Pass and everything. I was a subscriber to Classics On Demand until they announced that they were going to have the end of that. So I canceled that in December, even though apparently that's still going to go on till at some point in February on some cable outlets and distributors. But this is a no-brainer to me. Again, they talked about it there, and I'm not sure what the exact amount is. In fact, it's more than this, but WWE claimed $675 if a fan were to order all of their pay-per-views in high definition every month, and that includes WrestleMania, which comes in at a higher price. It's $675 with taxes and fees and other things from your cable company. That goes over $700. In this, you spend $9.99 with a 6-month commitment. And I was one of those people that was pro $9.99 because I figured, look, if you're going to try to get this thing off to the best start you can and try to get anywhere close to the, you know, magic million subscribers that has been kicked around that they, you know, reportedly want. The best way you're going to do that is $9.99. You got to make it cheaper than HBO. You got to make it cheaper than Showtime. Make it cheaper than almost everything else you could possibly can, just to lock people in and hope they basically forget about it on their cable bills every month. So the twist to me was when they actually announced it's going to be a 6-month subscription, which is great. You know, that makes complete sense. At least you have people locked in for $60. It is a great deal. It is very easily justifiable to a wrestling fan, considering, you know, if you were only going to order, you know, one or two pay-per-views in a, you know, in a half a year anyway, well, you've already made your money off of that. And then on top of it, you have the possibility of this incredible, you know, on-demand library that they're going to have together, that you're going to be able to do things with multiple devices. They're going to have second screen experiences, a lot of things like that, a lot of bells and whistles, and they're using Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball, their side business to go out and do this. And they've got a great reputation. I was talking about UFCs with New Lion, who does the NHL and does a couple other things, who WWE is in bed with in this one. They do ESPN stuff. They do the Turner, NCAA stuff. It's on paper right now. Again, the subscribers and how many they're going to get is going to be the biggest thing, and how they rankle the cable industry and how the cable industry responds to them as they shop their, you know, entire television deal. Outside of those two things, you really, as it stands right now, I don't think you can say anything bad about what they've got set up and what they have looking going forward.
Well, let's take a quick look here before we go to the break. This is what you're going to get with your WWE Network subscription. You're going to get scheduled shows. So as I noted, it's going to be airing 24 hours a day like a normal cable network. And at 11 o'clock, there will be this. At 12 o'clock, there will be this. At 1 o'clock, there will be this. There's going to be a schedule, obviously. You will have on-demand programming. So like if you've got a cable package that includes on-demand, you'll be able to go up there and choose anything that you want out of the library. They're claiming anywhere on any device. That means that you're going to be able to get this on your desktop, your laptop, the WWE app, the Kindle Fire, the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and 4, the Roku, Xbox One, smart TVs by the summer. And they didn't announce this, I guess because they were contractually not allowed to. But if you've got an iOS device, If you have got an Apple TV, you will be able to get it there as well. They're claiming original programming, all 12 live pay-per-views, including WrestleMania, live pre- and post-shows for Raw and SmackDown. They're going to have original shows, in-ring shows, new reality shows. This summer, a live daily studio show. Every WWE, WCW, and ECW pay-per-view that was ever produced will be available in the library. They will have past years of Raw and SmackDown, over 100,000 hours, which will slowly be added to the archive. You'll be able to watch NXT there, so that is off of the Hulu. You will no longer be able to watch NXT on Hulu. If you like NXT, you're going to have to get the network. They're going to have Legends House, which, by the way, they showed a preview of, and it just looked absolutely ungodly terrible. But if you're a big fan of seeing Legends do crazy things, you will check out Legends House. They're going to have WWE Countdown, a Monday Night War show, which I believe they had on the Classics on Demand, and a number of other programs as well that are sure to come. But that's the lineup, and it's a lot of stuff. It's significantly more than you get with the UFC Fight Pass, because UFC Fight Pass is not including all of the big UFC pay-per-views. But interestingly enough, if you do not count the pre- and post-shows for Raw and SmackDown, if you don't consider those like live programming, the UFC Fight Pass, you're actually getting significantly more live programming over the course of the year at this point than you're going to get with WWE. But obviously the UFC fans are very upset because the WWE fans get the pay-per-views for $9.99, and the UFC fans still have to pay $44.95. Now, before we go to the break, I just want to throw in that the one thing that UFC has at its advantage, a lot of them, first off, they have not infuriated the cable and satellite companies, and we're going to talk about that a little bit after the break. Second off, what they are doing, UFC obviously would eventually like to have Fight Pass be very similar to the WWE Network, but it's not there yet, and thus they will be able to learn from the pluses and minuses, the successes and the failures of the WWE Network. So the things that work, they can learn from. The things that fail spectacularly, and there will be some they're going to be able to learn from as well. So we're going to talk about that more when we come back from the break. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app. Check us out on the iHeartRadio app, as well as the respective websites. The Sirius Satellite Radio app are available on the American Forces Network, as well as the Cable Radio Network, the most listened to wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And as a special bonus, when this show ends, if you want to hear more audio, you can head on over to WrestlingObserver.com. There's a giant microphone there, and if you scroll down, you will see a link that says Listen Live. And you can listen to the last several weeks of free audio shows streaming 24/7 on our version of the WWE Network. So if you want to check that out when the show is over, head over there, the WrestlingObserver.com, F4W Radio, Listen Live. We also do live programming on there. You can scroll down and check out the times for that, and we'll talk more about that after a while. Now, Mike, the network here, we got to talk about this issue with DirecTV and Comcast. DirecTV has already threatened that with WWE moving the pay-per-views to the network, they are no longer going to carry WWE pay-per-views. Now, the idea was that you would either be able to get the network, or let's say that you just don't want to deal with going online. Let's say you don't have high-speed internet. Let's say that you aren't confident that you'll be able to stream a show to all your buddies through the WWE Network, and you just want to buy it on pay-per-view to make sure that it's great quality, maybe it's 1080p, whatever. The idea was you would still be able to buy the pay-per-views on traditional cable and satellite pay-per-view even when the WWE Network launched. But wait, DirecTV is now claiming maybe we're just not going to carry your pay-per-views at all. Now, why would they do this? I mean, they're not losing any money by still airing the pay-per-views. It's all, I mean, if someone buys a pay-per-view, they make money, and if they don't, it's fine. It's not something that is costing them money. It is pure profit virtually on their end. So why would they cut WWE pay-per-views? Well, they made a deal with WWE and UFC and all of these other pay-per-view providers. And the deal was, you are not allowed to air your pay-per-view online and undercut us. That's why, if you want to order a pay-per-view off WWE.com, you still have to pay $44.95. I mean, you should just be able to pay like $24.95, but it's not allowed. Contractually, WWE must charge the same amount online as they pay for the pay-per-views over the traditional pay-per-view, over satellite or cable. So now that WWE is undercutting them, essentially, if they allow that to happen, they're opening the door for UFC and TNA to go, you know what? We're going to offer the pay-per-views online, and we're only going to charge $9.99. Not that they would do that, but UFC, for example, could charge $29.95. A lot of people would order it online, and UFC wouldn't have to do any split with the cable companies. So essentially here, there is a possibility that DirecTV and Dish and Comcast and all these companies are going to say, you know what? Fine. Do your own network. And anybody who doesn't want to get the network, well, they're out of luck because we're not going to air your pay-per-views.
Thing is, the door is already open. And this was going to be – somebody was going to have this issue down the line anyway. I mean, the UFC already, you know, has got their streaming and got their Fight Pass and has their plan. Boxing, Top Rank, airs their undercards on streams as well, leading into the pay-per-view starting on Saturday nights for their shows. WWE, it's just this was going to go this direction anyway. At some point down the line, with smart TVs becoming more and more prevalent, with even older people getting used to technology and having iPads and this sort of stuff, we're going into a new generation. And there have been people for years that have been begging for the cable industry to be broken up, to allow for competition in their areas, to allow for a la carte programming choices and things like that. This is basically what we're leading into anyway. Now, DirecTV can throw their fit, and I do not blame them. This is, if this is a breach in their contract structure, you know, hey, that's something that they're, you're going to have a lawsuit with WWE. There's going to be obviously
actually,
this-
yeah. Let me ask you about that. What do you think? Because if I mean, no one has mentioned this that I'm aware of, but if there is a contract that says you are not allowed to take these online and undercut our price. I mean, I can tell you that the cable and satellite providers, I don't know which ones, but I do know that at least, and maybe all of them, but they were blindsided by this announcement. They did not know what was coming at this announcement, and they were very surprised, and they were very angry. And obviously, DirecTV was. I don't know the status of Comcast and all these other providers, but I'm sure they're not happy. So is it possible that, like, on Monday, it comes down that, hey, giant lawsuit here, WWE forbidden from airing the pay-per-views on the network? What does that do to the network? I mean, how would this affect everything if a lawsuit comes down on Monday?
See, there's going to have to be some sort of negotiation, because I don't think they're going to want to get into into that sort of thing unless they absolutely have to, because then there's a lot of bad feelings and a lot of problems. And frankly, while that gets drawn out, you still have no – you have nothing, you know, set up for what's going to happen with you know, as the months go on with these pay-per-views. I think probably negotiation is going to have to be done with WWE maybe going – you know, to get out of the contract. You know, again, it depends on how it's written and all that stuff. And I'm certainly not a lawyer or anything like that, but maybe WWE just sacrifices, instead of giving up, what, 50% or 45, whatever their percentage is that they give up to the cable industry as they 50-50 these pay-per-views. Maybe he's got to give up everything but $9.99, you know, if it goes that direction. But even if this happens, this to me, and I've always been relatively conservative on things, I just like seeing what happens with technology and sitting back. But, you know, I'm not actively trying to cut the cord or anything, but I've already ordered Fight Pass. I'm going to get the WWE Network. I have Netflix. I have Hulu. I have HBO Go, which, again, that's tied into having a subscription through Comcast. But I have these options, and I'm kind of seeing my parents, who were much older. You know, they have iPads. They're watching things, you know, in the same way with Netflix and things like that. Now they're getting used to it. So this is coming anyway. So no matter what happens with this case, and no matter how much it may damage WWE or damage the relationship short term, this is going to be the direction everything goes anyway. Now, where you have incestual things that will be interesting is, WWE is able to do this and charging $9.99 because they're thinking their rights fees are going to get up and go through the roof. Now you have an issue with, you know, and again, there are separate branches to each one of these companies. It's not like, you know, NBC Universal is or Comcast is just, you know, into each other's sides of each other's business, but they're going to try to be getting how much money out of, you know, NBC Universal in USA and out of Fox and shopping their deals around. You know, Fox is owned by DirecTV is owned by Fox, if I'm not mistaken, still. So you have that where, you know, will any of this filter down and affect anything that has to do with the short window that they have in February opening up their TV deals?
Yeah, they're in the middle of negotiations, and that is a big question. I mean, if you infuriated NBC, Universal, and Comcast by blindsiding with them with this announcement, now you're going to go to the negotiation table and say, hey, you know, we're making $104 million a year on rights fees. We'd like $200 million for our television. What do you think? Now the good news is, you know, they can still take their programming elsewhere. So I don't know if you're necessarily – I mean, if NBC Universal and Comcast is infuriated and then they want to let the programming go elsewhere, I mean, they can, but are they going to want to?
Well, there's the whole thing. They have a whole division that's got nothing to do with a lot of other stuff going, you're going to hurt our ratings and our money. No, thank you. We want the ratings.
Now, one thing that is I thought actually when I really thought about it was rather brilliant. I mean, they're claiming they need a million subscribers to be to break even, which I think is. That's a big number. That is a big number. I think right out of the gate, they're doing a one-week free trial, and they're going to be promoting it for months. And obviously on the final Raw, it's going to be, I'm sure, a gigantic Raw leading into the announcement. And when that happens, you know, I'm sure that they are going to plug it like crazy on that last Raw. So the one thing that I just think is brilliant about this whole deal is they are going to get probably several million people that sample it on the day that it launches. I'm quite confident that will happen. So you've got these people, and then you've got to convince them to do these $9.99 6-month cycles, which is it's essentially, you know, you're signing up for 6 months in advance, but they're billing you $9.99 a month. And, you know, if you want to watch it over the course of a full year, I mean, you're committing to $120 as opposed to, which, you know, it is less than $675, but I'm sitting here thinking, okay, they probably got 80,000 people that actually buy every single pay-per-view. 80,000 people. How many people do you think buy two pay-per-views a year? Do you think do you think the vast majority buy two? Do the vast majority buy one pay-per-view a year? The way that they've got it set up, they're essentially forcing everybody to buy two pay-per-views a year, including the people that maybe never bought a pay-per-view before, or they may only buy a WrestleMania, or maybe they only buy a WrestleMania and SummerSlam. They're guaranteeing, instead of going from however many people normally buy two, which let's just say that there's only 300,000 people that actually buy two WWE pay-per-views a year. You've got the 80 to 100,000, maybe 125,000 that were buying every single one. And then you've got slightly more that are actually significantly more that will bite the bullet and buy WrestleMania. This payment scheme ensures that every single subscriber is locked into essentially buying two pay-per-views a year, which I think at the end of the day, if you can convince 800,000 people to buy two pay-per-views a year, I think you're actually doing better than when they had monthly pay-per-views at $44 or $54.95. I don't know, but, I mean, among my friends, I mean, most of them don't buy two pay-per-views a year. Most of them will buy WrestleMania, and they'll come over to a friend's house for WrestleMania. A lot of them don't buy any pay-per-views a year. They'll go to a friend's for the ones they want to see. So with this, they're forcing those people that were never buying a pay-per-view to essentially buy two pay-per-views a year by becoming subscribers. We'll talk more about this after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking to the WWE Network. And if you want to check out the Wrestling Observer Radio Network, the Figure Four Weekly Live Network, you can head to WrestlingObserver.com. And we, in fact, have a 24/7 streaming service that is up free right now. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page, and there you go. Listen live, it says. If you click on that, 24 hours a day, we've got the latest free audio shows streaming 24/7. And we're doing live shows as well. In fact, we've got two live shows coming up tonight. And if you scroll down to the section that says radio show schedule and lineup, you can find out when you can listen to these shows live through the F4W Radio Network. And in fact, if you miss any of the shows, guess what? We got a subscription area. $10.99 a month, you get full access to every single radio show that we have ever done. Thousands and over 5,000 hours of audio dating back to 2005. It's available in the archives right now. So head over there and check that out. It is up at WrestlingObserver.com. Click on the Listen Live link. And if you like what you hear, man, there's a lot of stuff that you can hear every single day on that network, as well as the ability to go back and download podcasts or whatever, all of the shows that you miss. So check it out over there at WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, we're talking the WWE Network and your friends. How many friends do you have that that regularly watch WWE programming? And on average, how many pay-per-views do they buy per year?
Jeez, I have almost at this point, I'd say maybe two. Out of everybody I know that are not, you know, hardcore, that are not, you know, in wrestling or on the site or something like that, probably only two of them. And they will really only order WrestleMania. If times are good or something like that, they'd probably get the Royal Rumble or SummerSlam or Survivor Series if there was something that, that would happen to catch their eye. But they haven't done that in a long, long time. So, the question is, though, would those people, are those people going to order it anyway? And I don't think that they will, to be honest with you. I think some will, because some will just see this great value, and they'll probably, and this is the one cool thing WWE has going for it, too, because of the on-demand stuff, as they continue to add stuff. There are going to be people like me, if for no other reason, I loved Mid-South in 1985. You know, I grew up with, you know, Steamboat and Youngblood against the Briscoes and against Slaughter and Cranoodle and Ric Flair and all that stuff. And that, you know, from 19, I think I started watching wrestling like 1980. I think it was like four. You know, from there to when, you know, my era up to like 89, where I thought it was, you know, that wrestling was the most awesomest wrestling ever in the whole wide world, bar none. Well, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't really like today's product, but remembers it from their youth and sees a promo or hears about Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling cartoon being on and World Championship Wrestling being on at 6:05. And I think those are the people that it's going to, you know, I think you're going to have to be a wrestling fan. I think if you're a casual person, this isn't going to do them any good, you know, whatsoever, you know, frankly, unless they can get those people to watch the TV show, get them to watch Total Divas, get them to watch what's on the network, you know, on their broadcast stuff that they're putting on cable. When it comes to their own network, the ability to reach back and get that person, I think that's what they need to count on. Not necessarily getting the new viewer, but they got to get that lapsed viewer if they really want to get the number. Because,
well, the problem is that there's only 80,000 of you, Mike. We know that from Classics on Demand, which actually you could order even easier because you could go through the your cable company. You didn't even have to go online.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that one. I mean, how many people even knew that that existed, much less the lapsed wrestling fan? Yeah, I mean, there were a few that the types that listen to this show, the types that would go to our site, the types that, you know, even if they say they hate wrestling, they always kind of like peek out of the corner of their eye every once in a while to keep in tune with what's, you know, okay, this is going on, or at least what they hate. I think that you have to get the person that's kind of just forgotten altogether. I mean, you've made this, you know, a once a year touring thing. Hey, we're going to come to your town, take your kid to it, spend a bunch of money on merchandise, you know, watch the show if you remember to, and then we'll see you next year. You have to get that person that takes their kid to the show that, you know, is not, you know, worried at all about wrestling right now, and get them to spend that money, get them to spend the $9.99 with some of that stuff. Again, I don't know how many new fans are going to make or how many truly casual you know, the ones who don't care about wrestling, the really casual fan that wants to know what's going on, they're not going to order it anyway. They're just not. And they're not going to do when they see it's a 6 month commitment with an automatic renewal for $60. They're definitely not going to do it. So I think you need to concentrate on going back to find all of those older fans, especially the ones, again, that are getting that new TV or getting the iPad or getting understanding what some of these things are and getting more used to it as you go down the line.
But here's the thing. So, like I said, let's just say you're right. Like, the reason that Classics on Demand only got 80 to 100,000 is because they should have done a better job promoting it. If they would have promoted it like they're going to promote the WWE Network, then it would have had significantly more. So let's just say that's the case. Let's just say that it would have got 200,000. They need a million. So the other 800,000, I mean, these people are still going to have to be people that are interested in the current product. So my question to you is this. There's a big debate about what this means for pay-per-view. And one of the arguments is that, okay, the pay-per-views are going to be secondary now. It's going to be a television product. The pay-per-views may end up pushing Raw and not vice versa because they're not making any extra money off pay-per-view. The pay-per-views are all free on the network. Now, I argue that, in fact, the pay-per-views are not free. The pay-per-views are a $60 six-month commitment. So I think that, listen, I know that a lot of people, in fact, more people than UFC was expecting, they have sampled Fight Pass, like a lot of people, you know. And will those people sign up and purchase it at $9.99 a month when their 2 month free trial is over? I think a lot of them won't, because they're not getting the pay per views. Maybe they don't really care all that much. Maybe they're just, you know, they signed up for the free trial because, hey, it's a free trial. Let's sign up and look at it. But is every single one of those people going to sign up monthly? No, of course not. Even at $9.99. So let's say that WWE gets 1 million people on February 24th to sign up for a one-week free trial for the network, which actually, believe it or not, I think is possible. Let's say 1 million people, their break-even, sign up for a free trial on day one. Are those people going to purchase it, a six-month commitment? Well, to me, they're going to purchase it if it is of value, obviously. So if WWE goes in there and the pay-per-view suddenly becomes secondary because the feeling is, well, the pay-per-views are free, we're not making any more money off the pay-per-views, then guess what? Those people are not going to stick around after their commitment is over. To me, you've got to go in there and you've got to make those supposedly free pay-per-views, you've got to make those pay-per-views big deals. So that at the end of the day, when that six-month commitment is over, people are going, man, there were some great pay-per-views that I got for free. There were some great matches and angles and storylines. And if I don't sign up, I'm not going to get those anymore. So my question to you, Mike, is do you believe that pay-per-views will be a priority, which is what I think, because you need to sell this network? Or do you agree with what other people think, which is that pay-per-views are no longer going to become the priority because there's no longer big money to be made off of them, and the TV deals are significantly more valuable?
I agree with that, and the TV deals are far more valuable. And obviously, we've seen what the WWE's pay-per-view numbers are, not only here but worldwide. When it happens to not come to Mania, and it's not an awe-inspiring thing or anything like that. So, you know, yeah, that's the truth already right now. But I agree with you. You still need to make these things special because, forget about the fact that, yeah, for what you said, you're getting them on pay-per-view or you're getting these things for quote-unquote free when you order the subscription. They're still going to be on traditional pay-per-view anyway. And, you know, I can see here's the thing. When it comes to pay-per-view, what's aired on pay-per-view? Boxing, UFC, WWE. After that, what do you have? You have Jerry Springer Uncut. You have stand-up comedy. You have, look, there's the porn part of it, which makes an incredible amount of money in those channels. But after boxing and UFC, and boxing you're only getting one or two, you know, a year that are really doing anything significant, you know, sometimes three. I mean, at least it's something. But, you know, it, to me, it puts more pressure from the cable industry on the hopes of the UFC to create awesome shows and create awesome shows to try to fill the void. But look, if WWE is to lower their pay-per-view price, and this is why I also think they should continue to make them special, lower your pay-per-view price once this thing network is up and going to like $30, because I know that the cable industry go, absolutely not, you can't do that. But you know what? You have nothing besides the UFC and boxing to make any money off of on pay-per-view. So if you're getting $15 off a $30 pay-per-view, as opposed to $30 off the $60 pay-per-view that you had before, I don't want to say they're going to shut up and take it, but I would think that that's probably the best option. It also, even though it, again, WWE, if they get one person to order two pay-per-views in the span of 6 months, they've made half the money they would have off of a subscription. So to me, you can't get rid of pay-per-view altogether until the technology is so incredibly ingrained in our society that it, you know, everybody knows that they're going to be hitting an icon to get their TV from in the future. Until you do that, you can't not make this pay-per-views as special as possible, because they're still going to be offered up in traditional form. Again, unless the entire industry shuts down upon it, but I don't think that's going to happen. And even if it does happen with a DirecTV or a major one, there's probably always going to be somebody that doesn't. So again, it may not have as much impact, but still, I think that's the better direction to go.
And well, I mean, that'll go. It's fine and good if there are other cable providers that will air your show if DirecTV cancels it, but you're still talking about all those people that used to order on DirecTV will no longer, or they'll have to switch. You know, they either switch or they're not going to have access, or they have to buy the WWE network. And, you know, here's the thing that you have to consider. The reason that a lot of people... There are many people in certain areas of the country that have satellite television because their internet connection at the same time is really not very good. So if you're one of those people who you don't have a strong internet connection, and so you've got Dish or DirecTV or whatever, and DirecTV acts as WWE pay-per-views, well, you're going to have a really tough time getting the WWE network because, you know, a lot of people are, you know, it's streaming in 720p. Which is, I mean, it's going to be easier to stream that for people than 1080p. And I know that some of the HD snobs are very upset about that. But you're still asking to stream 24/7 in 720p with what may not be a strong internet connection. So those people that are living in those areas, weak internet and relying on satellite, you know, if DirecTV pulls the pay-per-views, they are absolutely out of luck.
Here's the thing, too, to remember when it comes to these impasses that WWE is having with DirecTV. And again, you know, I don't know the contract or anything like that, but you know, DirecTV, more than probably any other outlet, is notorious for having battles with networks and with groups. They're in one right now with the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel has launched a full onslaught against DirecTV. And you know, over, I think I saw a number, it was 13 cents is what the, you know, it costs for, you know, as opposed to $6 charged by ESPN to these cable companies. It's 13 cents, and they're in a brawl right now. So, you know, a lot of times these things will blow up. It'll cause headache and agita and pain for the viewer at home for a while. But a lot of times they tend to work themselves out.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And while we are on the subject here of streaming and HD, as I noted in the last segment, a lot of HD snobs are very, very upset that the network is only going to be airing in 720p. Why is it not 1080p? They are screaming. And first off, I don't even think WWE broadcasts in 1080p on cable. I think they broadcast in 1080i. And I do know that MLB.TV also streams in 720p, which is what WWE is going to be streaming in. And I have been told from people that have MLB.TV that it's 720p, but my God, it looks good. So I don't think you got to worry too much about the quality. It may not be it may not be quite as good as what you see on your big screen TV when you watch Raw live on the USA Network in HD. But you know what? I believe it's going to be really, really close. And I would guess that aside from the Major League HD snobs, you're probably not even going to notice. And there is a lot of stuff they're going to be streaming. They're spending a ridiculous amount of money on this project. And they got to make sure it goes off without a hitch. So if 720p is going to help accomplish that, then that's what they're going to do. And you got to keep in mind, too, that the costs of bandwidth are decreasing and the costs of streaming are decreasing. And so as the years go by and this gets easier and cheaper and more people get quick internet, I mean, eventually, obviously, the day is going to come where the WWE Network will be broadcasting in 1080p. And maybe even 5-10 years down the road, the new 4K TVs, WWE will be broadcasting in 4K as well. So so don't give up. It is the launch, and I'm sure it will continue to grow. All right, we're going to be back in just a moment, everybody. We've got the top of the hour news break, and then we shall return for another hour of Wrestling Observer Live. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We are joined, as always, by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare up at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208. We stream live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com. TuneIn Radio website, the iHeartRadio website, the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeartRadio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the American Forces Network. Of course, a big shout-out to them as well, and the Cable Radio Network as well. So no shortage of ways to hear this show, and we are talking the WWE Network. Everything you ever wanted to know about the network, which is debuting on February 24th, immediately after Raw, 11:05 Eastern, 8:05 p.m. Pacific. And Mike Sempervivi, the signups are starting at 9:05 a.m. Maybe it's 9 o'clock a.m., but the signups are starting earlier in the morning. When do you plan on logging on to sign up? Are you going to be one of the first guys on there?
I don't know. I think it's just it'll be happen to when I have a chance to do it. I'll go ahead and do it. I don't think I have to rush to do it or anything like that, especially with it not starting until February 28th. Oh, by the way,
28th. Sorry, everybody.
You mentioned the Armed Forces Network. I hear we're big at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because of After Dark and all of my talk of crashed alien craft?
Possibly. I would hope it would be more for the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare and the Sin Lamente shows I do with Dave Meltzer. But for whatever reason, how you doing Dayton, Ohio? I don't, again, as far as, signing up or rushing to sign up or anything like that. Hey, you'll get on when you get on. And, when this thing starts, and it will be interesting too, that first post game show they do. From Raw, any issue that WWE has, again, it's going to be a lot like the UFC that way. People will be, they're
actually
happy
now.
Hey,
hold that thought, Mike.
Them for the littlest thing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking the WWE Network. We got an hour talking this network. We're going to go another hour talking the network because there is plenty of stuff to discuss as it regards this network. Now, Mike, at the CES presentation in the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, they had quite the presentation. Did you get a chance to watch this thing as it took place live?
I did indeed.
Oh my! What did you think of the entire whole package, the whole shebang?
They did a great job. I mean, they really did a great job with all the you know, the video packages, they're great with that sort of stuff anyway. You know, sometimes they play them too much. You know, obviously when you all the time leading into a pay-per-view, then you see them all on the pay-per-view. Sometimes you get desensitized to it after a while. But this was just, to me, a great rollout. The presentation was fantastic. They had a little bit of, you know, the dumb, goofy comedy in there with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Steve Austin came out, and just, you know, obviously that was, you know, a thrill for a lot of people, especially, you know, the average person that was there, you know, him and John Cena, obviously were probably the two biggest deals, you know, up there talking. So I just thought the whole package seemed to get over great. And you could tell by the reaction of people who watched it that were really, you know, jacked up and excited about it, even though, again, they kind of knew everything that was going to happen. I think it was, you know, combined with the presentation and the fact that I think a lot of people never thought it would actually come since they've been talking about it for so long. You know, the whole thing really kind of seemed to go off without a hitch, at least for the viewer at home. I don't know how it was there. At least the catering was nice. I like hearing about lamb shanks.
There were lamb shanks. I was hoping it was chicken. I cannot bring myself to eat an animal that is so cute, like a lamb. So I can't eat lamb. But yeah, we went. And it was a very fancy presentation. They bussed over, I believe, a lot of people from CES, so they had a fair number of people here, which was good and bad. I mean, it was good because you had a lot of people there. It was bad because, my God, were some horrible questions asked. Some horrible questions were asked at this CES presentation. And I was told, I mean, I've gone to a lot of WWE and UFC events. And they're very different. UFC is a sporting crowd. They've got sports media, and some people will complain about the MMA media, and some of it is very bad, but not all of it. And one thing is when you go, I mean, they make it very clear you are not allowed to cheer for fighters. You are not allowed to show any bias one way or the other. You're not allowed to drink when you're down there at the press area. I mean, it's very professional. WWE,
you sign a waiver. It's, you know, they will revoke your rights, you know, forever and take it out on the people that you work for if you violate any of that.
That's right. So, but WWE, I mean, they had an open bar, so they kicked it off in grand style, and after you were all liquored up, you went into this deal, and man, cheering and applauding left and right. And I mean, I was just kind of like, really, are we really applauding this? But I was told that at a lot of the CES style launches like this, I mean, that is common expected behavior. You cheer, you clap, you let Steve Jobs, for example, back when he was in charge of Apple, I mean, he would do these big presentations, and everybody would whoop and holler and that sort of thing. So apparently I just need to calm down about this whole thing. But anyway, it was not like a press conference. It was a WWE presentation. They had the teleprompter, which ended up being the source of a lot of comedy. Everything was scripted out largely for everybody to say. Steve Austin did not use the teleprompter, but a lot of other people did, including Stephanie. When she was recounting childhood memories, she had them up there on the teleprompter. So it was just a different sort of deal, and they did it very well, and it got everybody excited for the network. Now, the one thing I will say, which I think was a mistake, was they were in talking about future reality shows here on this network. They talked about Legends House, and they had a trailer for Legends House. And dear God almighty, did this look like just about the worst television show that's ever been produced. Maybe it's great. You know what I mean? I was very critical of Total Divas, I won't lie, and I ended up enjoying the show. I don't know about everybody else. And it was a hit on E, at least per E, primetime Sunday night standards. But Legends House just looked God awful. And you have any interest in this show, Mike? I guess we'll start with that.
No, it's a bag of crap. That's what it looked like, at least. And usually, and here's the thing, I don't, all the, like, Hillbilly Jim's got his gig on Sirius, and you know, all the, a lot of these guys have other things going on. Some don't, and they could use the payday, and I'm fine with that. I'm even fine with it being on. As far as being something I'm going to watch, I doubt it. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of morbid curiosity to it, you know, but it's you know, these dudes doing wacky stuff, I don't know if I can handle that or care about it all that much. You know, it's like the Nasty Boys or Brian Knobs, where it was like peeking around a tree to spy on Brooke during Hogan Knows Best, or, you know, I didn't care about that either. So I really probably won't care
about
that.
Did that really
this.
Happen?
I think they ended up cutting that, but I think that was one of the bits was, you know, he was him. I want to say it was him and somebody else. If it was Knobs and Sags, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was Knobs for one. Was like going around and he was like, you know, being the craptastic cartoon, peeking around, spying on Brooke. But
how
again,
creepy.
Look, these guys could use the payday. I'm fine with that. But they usually, during times like this, will put the best stuff out there as a tease. And if that's the best stuff they had, with like Mean Gene just saying holy balls is the funniest moment of the show, I don't know if this is going to be, you know, something anybody cares about seeing. Now, with that said, Total Divas has been announced, which that's not on, you know, in replay anywhere. That's going to be on the new network, so you'll be able to get your fix of Total Divas. Hopefully there's a second screen enhancement with that as well. But I think more interesting are the shows like Countdown, which after – and you brought it up on the show this week. After a while, these things are going to get painfully annoying.
Actually, hold on. We're going to talk about Countdown here in a second. I want to say one thing about the reality shows first. So – I'm really torn on these reality shows, because here is the reality of these reality shows. If they create a show and it's any good, it ain't going to be on the network, because it will be picked up by a cable channel and they'll make a lot of money off of it, such as with Total Divas. I believe their last quarter, the only reason that they were in the black was because of the rights fees for Total Divas. And obviously, it's not because business is dying, but they had a lot of things that they were paying for in the network and that sort of thing. But, you know, Total Divas made them some money. So if they create a reality show and it's good, it's going to go somewhere else. If they create a reality show and nobody wants it, it'll go on the network. However, nobody wanted it for a reason, because it sucks. And so there's part of me that just thinks WWE shouldn't even bother with the reality shows, because there's so much great stuff on the network. And why would you want to put something on the network that sucks? Why spend the money? Why bother? Why bother? But then there's a part of me that thinks, well, there are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, 4 or 5 weeks a month, whatever. There's going to be a lot of time to air a lot of shows. You don't have to watch the reality show. And maybe there is that audience of guys that are going to sit back, they're going to crack open some alcohol, they're going to get some chips, and they're going to watch a horrendous episode of Legends House, and they're just going to laugh. And you know, why not? I mean, is it really sullying the network to have a terrible program on there? I don't think so. Is anyone going to unsubscribe because of Legends House? I don't think so. I'm kind of torn one way or the other. I guess at the end of the day, I just think, why bother spending the money if you don't have to?
Well, it's cheap, and I think that's the biggest thing. They're so cheap sometimes that it doesn't cost you anything, and you know, you can use it as a vehicle for somebody and maybe try to get the show figured out and have it on the network, you know, because they tend to rush things too fast, and then get it picked up by an E or try to refine it or something like that, and then they can turn around and say, look at what the network did. We spawned a show that made it to a network. So I think there's some spin that can be done with that just because the shows are so cheap.
Back in a moment, everybody. We got a lot more to talk about. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here for 2 hours every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out online and on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app and website, the iHeartRadio app and website, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, as well as the American Forces Network. Everybody over there at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And the Cable Radio Network as well. So many different places to listen to this show every Sunday. And, Mike, we were talking about additional programming, including the WWE Countdown Show, which is where they're going to count down the top 10 whatevers, the top 10 matches, the top 10 greatest moves, the top 10 greatest finishes. Seems to be a short shelf life, but maybe, Mike, there's other stuff they can come up with.
I liked your ideas of talking about the top 10 fringe and the top 10, you know,
greatest mullet
pants.
Sure.
You know. It's, and here's the thing, and I know that's what very quickly this thing is going to descend into, because, you know, everybody that orders this thing who's a fanatic right off the bat is going to watch every possible thing that they can almost right away, and just, you know, they're going to just immerse themselves in it probably right off the bat. So these are going to get old fast, but it's cheap programming that you can very easily change around as the future goes on. You put little new little drop-ins in. New little inserts of guys talking from another generation down the line. You know, these things could last forever. They're cheap. It doesn't cost you anything to really produce the thing outside of time and the video editors putting it together. You can run those things like VH1 runs I Love the 80s. I mean, people will get sick of them, but to me, it's a great idea. That is a fantastic idea for shows like that. They have the documentary show, the Monday Night Wars, which they've been doing. Again, will that be a little bit different than the form that was on Classics? Possibly.
Did you say wars or war?
War, and that's
it's
right.
The war. That was the issue. That was the highlight of the entire thing. When poor Hunter was out there and his wife was browbeating him, it's not the Monday Night Wars. It's the Monday Night War. War. I told you this before the thing. It's war, not wars. So poor Hunter's being browbeaten, and all of a sudden he notices up there on the teleprompter, it says wars. And you've never seen a husband more satisfied to be proven right than Triple H was at that moment. It was awesome.
Yes, even told him to look, because they had the logos for all of these new shows up
and
there.
Then, and, you know, look at the- and then the guy on the teleprompter made the S even bigger. Which I can confirm really happened. I looked right over the teleprompter. The guy who was writing the teleprompter made the S as big as humanly possible. So if that guy's still employed, that's pretty amazing.
Again, shows like that, they're easy. The Legends Roundtable, I guarantee, bring back. I mean, there's so many things they can do, and there's so many easy things that they can do with, like, wraparounds, you know, having Michael Hayes talk about this episode of UWF TV that he was an announcer on with Jim Ross, or again, a zillion one things you can do. Also, I think what's going to be kind of clutch down the line is going to be how that, not event center, their sports center style of show is going to be their live daily studio show. That's going to be great, I think, for the people who have got to work at the arena all night, because those Raw and SmackDown pre and post shows, or SmackDown's a little bit different, but if they do it live to tape, they're going to be incredibly long, you know, long, long, long shows and long days. Once you get that studio show up and running, you can just throw it from a studio to there at 11 o'clock, like people watch SportsCenter 11 o'clock after a game. I think that's going to be a great idea. Same thing with the pre-shows. Plus with that network, you know, plus with that daily type of, you know, quote unquote news show, however they're going to create it, you can have that do a lot of different things. You know, you can make it as K-fabulous as you want, but I would figure they're going to try to make it as real as possible and make it kind of like more of a serious style of show. At least that's what I would do with it, where you don't have to report on news from UFC or Ring of Honor or Chikara or anything like that. But if something does break or something does happen or a person passes away or somebody does something, you know, Jericho with a podcast or Austin with his podcast, an announcement like that, you're going to be able to utilize that and kind of be the place where people now come for all of those sorts of things. And again, it may be very soft at the start, and it may never turn into being I'm sure it's not going to be pure news or anything like that, where they lure Bob Lee away from ESPN to do hard news or anything like that. Obviously, it's not going to be that, but you can kind of make it a place where they kind of want to usurp us a little bit. If you want to hear what happened with Davey, you know, with Roderick Strong getting hurt from AJ Styles, they won't push the fact that it's in Ring of Honor, but they will maybe bring up the fact that, you know, he's okay or something like that before they lead into another story that they have.
Gobsmacked if they started talking about stuff like that. But,
well, here's a long time down the line, but remember, this is if they could get into Japan and take over that wrestling scene, or Mexico, and I know they've dropped those things, but there's probably people there that would like to be the one all-encompassing place that they possibly can be, and they want everybody to come to them for everything. So down the line, that type of world domination mentality, it's worked for them in the past. It's probably still there a little bit.
Suppose it's possible. I mean, the one thing about the live daily studio show is WWE traditionally, I mean, they're all about themselves. You know, they're not going to cover TNA. They're not going to cover ROH, maybe someday. But I mean, right off the bat, I highly doubt you're going to see the ROH news segment on the WWE Daily Studio show.
No, I'm not saying news segment, but could you imagine a little bit of a story making fun of TNA and making it the most derisive, you know, laughable story that you can, just to take the shot at AJ Styles not being there?
But my thing is more, you know, provided they don't do that. I mean, maybe they will, but let's just presume. Would you say it's a safe presumption that they won't do that at the beginning?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Okay.
They won't.
So then, it begs the question, what are you going to talk about every day on this show? Because I can tell you, I do a daily show here. I do two shows every day at WrestlingObserver.com. And what I have to do is, I mean, we've got guests on. We've got different people. We've got Dr. Lucha that talks Lucha. Lance Storm usually, I guess we talk the news of the week, but we talk about other things as well. And Brian and Vinny's show, we review old stuff. I mean, there's got to be something, because if I just talked about Raw and SmackDown and Main Event for two shows twice a day, every day during the week, I mean, you know, by Wednesday, you're out of stuff to talk about. So I am going to be interested. I mean, I guess what they could do is, like, you know, you do a little bit of whatever the news of the day is on WWE.com, and then you've got an in-studio guest for 20 minutes. You do a 30-minute daily live studio show. I can see something like that and take some phone calls. I think that'd be great. But if you're talking like an hour a day and you're only talking about the current news in WWE, I mean, that's not going to last very long. They've got to have some hooks. They've got to get some guests. They got to do segments about, I mean, they just got to do everything. And it would be easier if you would open yourself up to talking about other companies around the world. And again, I don't expect that to happen. But I mean, for example, with us, I mean, we could talk about UFC, WWE, TNA, what's going on in Ring of Honor, what's happening in Mexico. Tell me about the New Japan iPay-per-view. I mean, there's a million things to talk about, which is what you need when you're going twice a day, every day. So maybe at some point WWE will open themselves up to some sort of brief news segment about wrestling around the world. But as it stands, I don't expect that to happen. And it's thus going to be really interesting to see how they run this daily show.
I think it's going to be far easier for them than you think, because, I mean, look at all those shows like OMG Insider and all that sort of stuff. Say you start off with the news and have like a 5-minute bit on what's going on at WWE.com, or, you know, then you run a video package. Then maybe every week you have some sort of behind the scenes thing. Because remember, like Total Divas, when people saw the grand scale of what WWE was, who probably weren't aware of it or saw it happen with like seamstresses and all that sort of stuff, that's stuff you don't think about. And they could do, quote unquote, the human interest story that you would do on the news about some of these people, or a 3-part series on something or things like that. Plus with the ability to talking to people, and, you know, again, they have a million one things they could do where, yeah, if it was a half hour, even an hour, I think they could fill with enough gaga and nonsense at first. But, you know, a half hour one, I think they'll actually have no problem doing. Now, will it be something that people are drawn to see every day? I guess we'll see. But I think it'll probably be easier than you think to pull that off.
Do you remember MMA Live?
Yes, I do.
How often did you watch MMA Live?
Was that the way that on ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I could catch it, but then again, I was not a regular watcher of really anything at that time. I'm a terrible TV watcher, so I'm bad at that. But I will say this, after fights, I would catch it before Fox Sports 1 started with their post. I would actually have that on, you know, while listening to you guys, you and Dave do the post show or something like that. I would actually turn it on.
MMA Live was not daily. But the only person that I know, and I'm sure there are a lot of you listening to this that may have done this as well, but the only person I know that was regularly watching every single episode of MMA Live was Dave Meltzer. And if that show aired every single day, I mean, we're talking a show that covers UFC and Bellator and any other mixed martial arts company. I mean, who's going to watch it? What are they going to cover every single day? I mean, you mentioned OMG Insider, but think of the scope of what they could conceivably cover. Everything. They could cover anything in the world.
Well, and they don't get ratings either. I mean, they're making fun of the shows on Fox Sports 1 for good reason. Like, you know, the one was it the I forget what it's called. The one with Regis, I think, does like they had like 3,000 viewers. You know, Dan Lebatard's show on ESPN, you know, is, you know, a couple of tens of thousands of viewers. I'm not saying anybody's going to watch it. I'm just saying they're going to do it anyway. They are going to be able to conceivably fill time easily. Now, whether anybody watches it or not, who cares? They've already paid $9.99 for the 6 months.
Sure. I'm just saying that there are a lot of ideas you could do with a daily television show, but I'm not sure that they're going to go in that direction. And maybe someday they will. I don't know. Maybe I'll just be blown away and like Joey Styles will be on there talking about Ring of Honor and all of these other wrestling promotions. I'm just saying if it's strictly WWE centric, then a daily studio show, I think, is going to be very hard to keep fresh. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. Hold on, everybody. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got more to talk about. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app or website. Search Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline, and you can listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeartRadio app as well, the Sirius Satellite Radio app. If you are a subscriber, you can check us out on the American Forces Network. We can check us out on the Cable Radio Network, the most listened to wrestling radio show in the entire world. And as we sit here today talking about the WWE Network, you should check out the F4W Radio Network, our own audio network, which is available for free right now at WrestlingObserver.com. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, under, by the way, the latest free radio shows, there is the big Listen Live link. And if you click that, you will be able to hear wrestling radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our latest free shows are streaming there 24/7. And if you scroll down even further to the radio show schedule and lineup, you can find out when our next live show will be airing on the network. And in fact, we have two of them tonight. We'll be up at midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific, with Dave Meltzer live on the F4W Radio Network. And at midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, it is a live Brian and Vinny show. All of this available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And if you like what you hear, consider signing up, because obviously the shows air at different times. Some of them are very late. You may miss a show. Well, guess what? If you miss it, no big deal. It is up on the front page within 5 to 10 minutes, a downloadable, podcastable, if that is even a word, episode of the show for you to listen to at your convenience. Our own on-demand library has over 5,000 radio shows dating back to 2005, some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. All of this is available for only $10.99 a month, and you can listen live for free. So head up there and check it out. Click on that Listen Live link, and if you like what you hear, sign up, and you will never run out of wrestling and mixed martial arts audio. We are here talking the WWE Network, their own streaming network. They've also got 24/7 programming. We actually beat WWE Network to the punch by a week, although they are doing video. We're only doing audio, and they have significantly more. Let me think about this. They have 1,500 hours of programming, right? We have got them beat. We got 5,000 hours. So at this point, we are beating the pants out of the WWE Network, although they are cheaper, so I will give them that. Mike, the network, a lot of stuff that's going to be airing, 24/7 programming, the on-demand access. They have got 100,000 hours of programming they're slowly going to be adding to the network. And at this point, when it launches, the entire home video library is going to be up, which I presume means those old Coliseum home video releases will be available. What do you think about that?
See, I'm only going to be happy with that if the original music is there with it.
Well, I'm sure a lot of it will be. I don't know about all of it.
I hate it when they had to switch over to the new music and the newer ones. I love that old theme that they used for that. It was incredibly ridiculous. And then again, being a kid at the time, they're one of the reasons I fell in love with wrestling. But how they're going to put all of this stuff on, or all the Coliseum home videos, there's a huge library from WCW too. Now, whether anybody wants to watch it or not, you know, there's still videos out there from them, ECW, at 6 o'clock or at 6:05 on Saturdays, do they play World Championship Wrestling? You know, the stuff that they had, you know, will they play anything that they own at certain times? How are they going to do it? What are they going to, you know, give priority to if they comes to putting that stuff on there? And frankly, will they do it really whatsoever? Will they just run reruns of a lot of the stuff that they have now with maybe a show here or there or their own stuff, but not, you know, leave the territorial stuff for on demand? Who knows? You know, who knows what it's all going to be? It's just the possibilities are there. Plus, as time goes on, they have those tapes that a lot of people had talked about that they were able to find, the old Bridgeport, Connecticut tapings from the 60s. Now, I'm not saying anybody's going to want to watch Cowboy Bill Watts and Johnny Valentine. I think they all should. But, you know, who knows if there's really going to be interest in that. But just the fact that they have it and it's going to have the ability to see the light of day, at least possibly sometime down the line, it is really cool. They have all the history. You know, and obviously they're going to be able to dictate it to some form or another. But the more they go with that's uncut and uncensored and they let it roll, which they're saying they're going to do in most cases, you know, it's going to be pretty cool to see how they use it.
The one thing that is really concerning me about this network is day one. We've been talking a lot about, man, what happens if it crashes during WrestleMania? Well, you know what? When WrestleMania comes along, they're going to know exactly how many people are going to be watching WrestleMania for the most part. I mean, there could be a bunch of signups the day of, but I think that most people that are going to get the network are going to get it in advance of WrestleMania. I mean, it's a 6-month commitment, so there's no reason to wait. When you sign up, you're going to get WrestleMania, no matter whether you sign up a month in advance or a day in advance. So I think that on the day of WrestleMania, I mean, they'll be able to look and go, okay, well, we need to make sure that we can have 1 million people streaming WrestleMania all at the same time. And something to note, by the way, before I get into WrestleMania, is that no matter what live programming you're watching, they've got a lot of cool features, including a watch from beginning button. So if you show up for WrestleMania and it's airing live and you get home 25 minutes late and you're like, oh man, I missed the... All you have to do is hit watch from beginning and it will go back and you'll be able to watch the show from the beginning like a DVR. So that feature is going to be there. But anyway, my point of this is that everybody's concerned about WrestleMania, but they'll know their capacity on WrestleMania Sunday, and so they can be prepared. Now, what they won't know is how many people are going to try to simultaneously sign up and log in on February 20. What day is it, Mike? I think you said February 28th. Is there even a February
28th? Yeah, maybe it would be the last day of the month. Yeah, only 28 days in February, 2 days after my birthday, by the way. But it's, I think it's the 28th or the 24th. I'll see exactly what that Monday is. Hold on here.
Let's get that. Let's make sure we've got the proper day here, because I'm pretty sure there's not a February 28th.
Well, that would be a Friday after SmackDown. I guess it would be February 24th. That would be Monday after Raw.
That's right. I think I said that at the beginning of the show, but anyway, February 24th. So on February 24th at 9 a.m., you can sign up. Are a million people going to attempt to sign up all at the same time? What happens at 11:05 when after 3 hours of incessant promotion, WWE announces we're going off the air and the WWE network launches now? Are a million people? Well, there won't. Actually, you know what? There's going to be 4 million viewers. Are 4 million people going to try and log on all at the same time? It's a free trial. I don't think the numbers will be that high, but if there's going to be a crash, the crash is going to happen on February 24th at either 9 a.m. or at 11.05 p.m., one or the other or both. And if it, believe me, if it does not crash then, I don't think the thing is ever going to crash. So if you had to put Todd's odds on this, Mike, what do you think is going to happen at 11.05 p.m. on February 24th?
You know what? I think they're going to be able to do it. I really do. I think because it's not the quote unquote faith in WWE. It's the faith in the Major League Baseball technologies. Because
I have faith in them too. Don't get me wrong. I have faith in them, but I'm worried about the day one absolute bombardment when everybody decides that they're going to try it out for the first time all at the same time on the same day.
Well, you know, if you're putting odds on it, I mean, it really is kind of like a 50-50 deal. I think they'll be able to pull it off. And in a way, I mean, obviously you don't want that for the free trial. But again, if that happens, they need to learn what, you know, Ring of Honor learned the really hard way, because they cannot have it crash at WrestleMania. That's the big, you know, that's the big one, too. So, you know, any kinks they need to work out hopefully are worked out. But I think, if that's the mentality, if they're buying the, you know, I don't know how it works with as far as how expansive they can make things and how much broadband they can buy and every or whatever they have to do to pull this off. I think they are going to max it with the, you know, as much as they can to make sure that this thing goes off without a hitch. Again, it will be interesting if it does. But then again, who knows how many people will actually try to log into that thing? And will it be kind of depressing if, you know, only 500,000 of them, you know, 500,000.
It'll be more than that.
It'll absolutely be more than that. But let's just say, just for some chance, it's not. Can you imagine what that would be like, too?
Oh, yeah, utter panic. But believe me, it'll be more with a 1 week free trial and like 7 weeks of promotion. I promise you, it will be more than 500,000. I don't know how many you're going to subscribe in the end, but as far as like the free trial on day one, I mean, I honest to God would be surprised if it's less than a million. We shall see, but that's my prediction. Now, before we go to this break, we got a few minutes here. I want your thoughts on the future. There are, at the end of 2014, there are a few things that could happen. A, WWE could double its rights fees and get over a million subscribers to the network and be rolling in the dough. Or there's the other way they could go. They could only get 500,000 people to agree to sign up to the network. And because of all that has gone down, they don't double their rights fees. The best they can get is what they've got right now. This would be a disaster. So you've got two choices, Mike. I mean, we could argue it could be in the middle, but let's look at the two choices. And you don't have to say which one is going to happen. But which one do you think is more likely to happen? Is at the end of 2014, are we going to go, my God, what? They took a gamble and boy, did it pay off. Or at the end of the year, are we going to be going, they need to come up with some ideas quick.
Man. That's a really hard one. I think they're not going to double their rights fees. They're going to do very well. They'll get paid very handsomely for them. But I don't think they're going to hit anywhere near the number of subscribers that I think they want to. I have to see that happen first. Honestly, you look at a million subscribers, even though in theory it should be a drop in the bucket, it is a drop in the bucket when you compare it to the overall, you know, viewership they have every year in the United States, let alone elsewhere. I mean, it should be that much, but until I see it happen, it's just hard to wrap my brain around it really taking place. Can it? Absolutely. I think they're going to be going on with the network anyway. I think it'll be, you know, successful enough where their investors will be happy and people will be happy. But, you know, how big of a success? I really don't know. But I don't think they're going to double their rights fees. That's the one thing. I know they keep looking at that. I will be really surprised if that happens. They are not sports. As much as, you know, as valuable as they are, I just don't think they're going to get that NASCAR mentality money that they think they're going to get.
Well, this month is going to be, in fact, this month and next month, this first quarter of 2014, this is, I mean, we're going to know a lot before WrestleMania because they want to have this rights deal done by early March. And so if they double their rights fees, if they're getting $200 million a year for television, then who the hell cares what happens with this network? They're all right, you know, because I don't see the network doing 100,000 subscribers. It's going to do a decent amount. So if they double the rights fees, they're sitting pretty, I think. Now, if they don't, if they're doing 100,000 or 100 million a year, just like they're doing now, 104 million or so, if they're only doing 104 million in, if that's the new deal that they sign, then they are going to be pushing this network harder than you've ever seen them push anything, because if this network flops, they're in big trouble. So we're going to know, a lot by mid-March. By the time WrestleMania rolls around, we're going to know a lot about where 2014 is going. So it's not going to be a deal where we got to wait a year. We got to wait a couple of months, and we'll find out where things are headed. Back in just a moment, everybody. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network. Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Before we go, I wanted to make sure I mention Mae Young. Everybody, send your best wishes to Mae Young. She is in very rough shape right now. And in fact, the day of the WWE Network launch, it was, in fact, reported in the newspaper that she had passed away. But Mae Young is tough, the toughest woman in the world, and she kicked out. She did not pass away, and she is still alive, and she's hanging on. So our best wishes to her. They wanted her at the WWE Old School Raw, but it couldn't work. She was not in good shape. There are a lot of reports about Mae Young that have turned out to be inaccurate. And it's interesting because the source of a lot of these reports are her good friends. So a lot of people don't know what's going on. But what we do know is that she's hanging on, and she's hanging tough. And I don't know what to hope, Mike, but I hope for the best.
Yeah, it's not sure what condition she's in now. She was under hospice care for a while, and you know, unfortunately, it did look like the end was coming there. But hopefully, she continues to roll her shoulder up and continue to kick out. And you know, obviously, the toughest woman in wrestling for a long time,
bar none. You know,
absolutely. And, you know, down to her getting, you know, put through a table by Bubba Ray Dudley, which, you know, she absolutely loved. There was always the thing with Mae. I mean, she loved doing the stuff she would do. And just God bless her and her family. And hopefully she continues to hang on and keep going and pull through.
We are out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank Mike, as always, and our great producer, Paul. Everybody at Sports Byline, make sure you check out the F4W Live Radio Network. It's up at WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down to the Listen Live link and enjoy it 24/7. We'll be back next week with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.